listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me once again. Today, he will give us an update on this year's exploration program for SK Mining. It's a very large-scale project, and very exciting news coming on the heels of last year's results. They are onto a precious metals-rich VMS project. Again, I'm very excited about it as a shareholder and as a company I cover in my newsletter as well. SK Mining trades in Canada under the symbol ESK. You buy it in the U.S., as I have, under ESKYF. My latest reading that I have is 162.2 million shares at $2.45 Canadian earlier today when I checked it, giving a market cap just a whisker under 400 million in Canadian money. Thanks for joining me again, Quentin.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
Always great to have you with us. With your success stories that you are building quite a portfolio of, I must say, and this is a company that you are a technical advisor to. Last year was the maiden drill program for SK Mining on its massive 100% owned, I think it's something like 52,000 hectares. It's a very large holding for sure. You came up with some very exciting results last year on this VMS project. Talk to us a little bit, for the sake of those that may not be familiar with the story, what did you discover last year and how does that set things up for this year?
Yeah, look, last year was, in spite of COVID, was very exciting. We generated some phenomenal drill results late in the year, or I should say we drilled the holes late in the year. We got the assays back. I think the first batch came back in December, and the second batch was earlier this year. But 18 of 20 holes hit significant gold mineralization. We'll call it, likely potentially economic mineralization. And they're very, very close to, say, the numbers that would be put out by Skeena, for example, which is drilling similar system to next door. All right, now, the two targets that we drilled last year, TB and Jeff, are a fair ways from Skeena. They're about 13 kilometers to the southeast, and they are within our 526 square kilometer, 100% controlled land package. to put it in context, what are these? Well, they're basically precious metal-rich VMS deposits. Okay, these are massive sulfide deposits, black smoker-type deposits that formed on the seafloor many eons ago and have been abducted, basically pushed up onto the craton, onto the continent. And, now we can explore these things. What was on the seafloor is now, sitting high in the mountain in British Columbia. But they are absolutely wonderful deposits, and they tend to occur in clusters. If you look at VMS around the world, almost all VMS deposits occur in districts or camps in which there's multiple deposits. They usually display a spectrum in size, from anywhere from a few hundred thousand tons up to, in some cases, 100 million tons or more of sulfide mineralization. Now, SK Creek, everybody, who's in mining, knows something about SK Creek. It was the highest grade gold deposit on planet Earth while in operation for about 15 years or so. It had a head grade, 42 grams per ton of gold, but it also had 2.1 kilograms of silver per ton. All right. And SK Creek kind of sits by itself. Everybody scratched their head and wondered, well, where on earth could the rest of, is there anything else out there? Is it just a truly a one-off? Well, I think the discoveries that we're making on SK Mining's ground is now showing that this thing is likely going to, deliver multiple high grade intercepts. So we're ecstatic. The Jeff results that we announced in February, we had a long interval. I think it was 30 odd meters of over 10 gram per ton gold equivalent in that one hole. And, you know, what are we doing? We're going right back in and drilling in that TBGF area right now. Like, with the first target we have is to really be aggressive at extending out those systems.
Mm-hmm. And so can you talk about this year's drill program? How much drilling are you going to do? What's the cost? I guess you're getting started now. You're setting up your drill program now. If the drills haven't started to turn, they will shortly. Talk to us about the objectives of this year's program and what you hope to achieve there.
Certainly. Look, we're going to drill minimum 30,000 meters. We got four Diamond Core rigs. Two of those rigs are going to be dedicated to each of the TV and Jeff targets. The other two rig will do systematic testing of numerous other targets. Okay, so we have, it's not just about stepping out, really. It's about making additional discovery. We did put out a news release yesterday that announced the start of drilling, so the program is underway. Full team is on site. We have been doing a geophysical survey as well. It's called SkyTEM. It's basically an electromagnetic survey that looks at property of rock in the ground, and in particular, it's looking for areas of conductive versus resistive rock. What we can see with that survey is the stratigraphy, and we know that there's certain host stratigraphy, you know, layers of rock. We'll call it that host is VMS mineralization. So we aim to use the SkyTEM data to give us a good handle on additional targets that we can drill this season. We have just an all-out program this year, a very robust drill program, 30,000 meter minimum. And I think by the end of this season, we'll see TV and Jeff probably grow dramatically in size, perhaps even connect. But then we'll also likely have additional discoveries.
How close are the TV and Jeff discoveries?
They're a little over 2 kilometers apart. Mm-hmm. If they were to say connect, given their size, each respective size, I would say there's at least 3 kilometers of mineralized area in that, but it gets better. Like if you look at the SkyTEM to the north and to the south from TBGF, the system clearly continues. Mm-hmm. Like there's going to be likely sulfide discovery, along at least a 7 kilometer corridor that we've done survey. Now the new survey is going to extend that area further. Okay, so we're taking the survey clear back up to the SK mine area. Oh. And then we're taking it to the south as well, down into the area where we produced some just phenomenal stream sediment anomalies late last year. So we're going to see, we'll basically be able to see the whole enchilada here soon.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the company's presentation, and, SK Creek, I think you said about 13 kilometers, if I remember what you said a moment ago, from the Jeff and the TV. But then there's the Sib and Lulu, and just looking at your presentation, there's some historic drill results there. I think in that area, 14.4 grams of gold, 1,060 grams of silver over 14.3 meters, 10.8 grams of gold and 766 grams of silver, 24.8 meters, 2.13 grams of gold, 4 grams of silver over 25 meters. So, I mean, that's, I think, up in the Sib and Lulu areas, which is between the Jeff and TV and just south, but south of, I suppose, that maybe, 6-7 kilometers south of SK Creek?
That's right. In fact, that area that you're talking about, Sib Lulu, is on the same strike, the same rock units that SK Creek is on the west side of the SK anticline. So an anticline is simply a term for an upfolded sequence of rock. Think of a wrinkle in a carpet, it'd form a nice linear, up warp. Mm-hmm. And in this case, there's two sides to the up warp. Okay, so the west side, which hosts the SK Creek mine, but also that mineralization continues down to our Sib Lulu target. That is one side of the anticline. And yes, Skeena has drilled basically right down to our fence line. So we know that we have very good potential to bridge that gap, basically bridge Sib Lulu in with the rest of the Skeena system. But mm-hmm. then the TB Jeff Jay is on the east side of the anticline. So we are focusing a lot of our attention to the east side of the anticline, given these very robust results that we have. I think that the east side of the anticline is perhaps just as perspective, if not more perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think here soon we'll be able to talk more about that once all this SkyTEM data comes back.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And, I'm just wondering, are you going to be poking some holes in the Siblulu, though, this year? Any chance of it?
Yep, that's one of a long list of targets that we have. We are doing additional geophysics to really flesh that out. Like that SkyTEM we did last year did not fully cover the Siblulu area. So we're actually collecting that data right now to help us better target our drill program at that location. But it is one of many. I want to emphasize that. We have many, many targets that we're going to test this year.
Indeed you do, and I'm looking at page 24 in the presentation, and I'm seeing it's showing these district scale structural geology. It shows all these anticline structures, and it goes all the way to the southern end of the property where you have things like TET and C10 and CFJ and a whole host of different targets that you have in sight. So I guess, though, the main focus of most of the drilling will be up at Jeff and TV, though, in an attempt to expand that. Is that right?
I would say, TB and Jeff, definitely important for us, but like I said, two rigs are going to be testing other targets. And the area that you mentioned there, the one in the south along the Eske anticline at the extreme southern end of the property, that delivered some phenomenal stream sediment results last year. So that we know there's a really good, really strong gold, arsenic, antimony, mercury, et cetera, like classic Eske type Blegg anomaly. What we call Blegg anomaly in that area. And it's big. I think there's at least 6 kilometers of strike that is the drainages are shedding very high levels of those elements. But like you said a minute ago, there's other anticlines. We actually see 3 anticlines that cross the property. They all trend more or less north-south. Mm-hmm. And the 3 anticlines, it's kind of like having, like I said earlier, like 3 wrinkles in the carpet, okay, side by side. So we have basically 3 corridors, and on each wrinkle, we've got an east and a west limb to explore. So one of the really intriguing areas that popped out last year in our stream sediment sampling was on the eastern anticline. We actually found a very high stream sediments anomaly at the north end of that anticline in a position, we'll say, that's mirrors what you see at the Eske anticline further west. Okay, so we see just a screaming Blegg anomaly at the north end of the eastern anticline. That one really intrigues us, and that's part of the reason we decided to be aggressive with our SkyTEM program, is we wanted to see if the signature, there's a clear target, geophysical target underneath that Blegg anomaly. And I think that's going to be very exciting once we get our SkyTEM out in the market. I think, once we've collected it and processed the whole thing and be able to tell the story, I think people will very quickly see that this bigger picture is very concrete, I'll say, and will likely deliver multiple discoveries. I got to be, somewhat cautious, but, look, it's a matter of drilling. We have to drill these things, but I think we'll see a lot of really good targets, in short, that we're going to hit hard this year. And again, by the end of this year, we should have multiple discoveries across the board.
Forward-looking statement for sure, but nonetheless, based on some early geological observations by yourself and your team there at the company. How many rigs then will be used? Will you have employed there this year?
Yeah. You said, yeah, 4 rigs, 4 drills operating, and we can drill. Well, we've started drilling about 3 or 4 days ago. We will drill up through mid to late October, about 4 months, basically. And again, if the drills perform, like we hope, then we should get at least 7,500 meters per drill. But we might be able to get more. Like, I could see potentially drilling 35 to 40,000 meters with a bit of luck, especially with weather. We need good luck with weather.
Yeah. How long can you go there generally? What do you expect? Normally,
last year I think the last day of drilling was around October 16th or something. It really depends on the, sometimes it can start early, sometimes late. It's been a very warm year up there this year. It seems like all of the West Coast has been just absolutely bizarrely warm.
Yeah.
You know, even in Esky, I think it was warmer there yesterday than it was here in Denver. So.
Oh, well, that's in a way, that's good news. Global warming notwithstanding. But just how much money is the company well funded to finance this year's drill program?
Yes, it is. We raised money. We were aggressive late last year, and I wanted to see that happen because I wanted this drill program to happen. I didn't want to be last in the queue. I wanted it to be first. So we raised about 13 or so million last November and added to the treasury we had. Brought us to 15. We still have, through some warrant exercises recently, I think we still have about 15 million in the bank. So we're well funded.
All right. Well, and turnaround time then, once you get to drilling, that's one of the issues with just a few seconds left, and maybe a quick comment on that.
Yeah, look, we don't know what to expect from labs this year. Obviously, there's a lot of companies with a lot of money, but I hope over the past 6 or 7 months that the labs has really, you know, started to ramp up in anticipation of this season's exploration. I don't know what to expect quite yet, but you know, we're going to do our best to make sure that we get a reasonably fast turnaround.
All right, very good. We'll have to leave it go at that. Thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us again, explaining this very exciting program. We'll talk to you again soon about this one and some others that I know you are working on. So thanks again for being with us. Well, that is it for this segment, folks, but don't go away, because right after the commercial break, Ron Stoffel will be with us to discuss his annual In Gold We Trust report, and more specifically, the monetary climate change and gold, without a doubt, impact the lives of everyone listening to this show. We'll see what's going on. Ronald definitely thinks that we're heading into some significant inflationary times. So we'll wait and see what he has to say about that right after the break. So don't go away.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.